All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am Jack Allen. Thanks for watching the show. Thanks for listening to the show, however you're consuming this information. It's a really good show tonight, or I really enjoyed learning about it. It like totally changed my mind on so many things, like politics, whatever is going on right now. But follow me on Twitter at Conspiracy or JAC. Also on Gab, that like I just use Gab to like post or to find and see what the crazy Qfluencers are talking about. I like to stay informed in what nonsense they're like pushing out, what Trump worship is going next. And I'm sorry if you still, well, that's a perfect segue. So first of all, like this episode ties into so many things that's like happened recently in the alt media community. One, a good, acquaintance of mine, whatever you want to call it, a fellow podcaster. I don't know. I don't want to like say his name, but he was there January 6th. He was in the Capitol and he's in federal jail or prison right now. And such a nice guy. Like that's why I get so angry because I was tricked. I've said this so many times, but that's why I get so angry. The people that refuse to admit and to defend this guy that doesn't give a shit about you. He's letting these people that he encouraged, whatever verb you want to use, and they're sitting in prison because they believed in him, right? And that is so messed up, dude. And does he pardons Kodak Black, who throws $100,000 in the ocean, but yet these people that they want to, we all want what was best. They thought that this was, they were helping or they were trying to make a difference. And what's their reward? He just brags about Operation Warp Speed, just like disgusting, dude. So that's one thing I wanted to bring up. And also I wanted to bring up what ties in perfectly with what this episode's talking about is like my trajectory. I was into conspiracies, heroin addiction, came back into it. And I didn't know anything. I was reading David Icke books and didn't know like really, I didn't care about politics. And then I got real involved. I was like kind of all on the 17 train and the Trump train. And then, I got disillusioned with that fairy tale. And then I like, was like, oh, libertarianism. I think the drug war is pathetic. It's ridiculous. They should just let it go. And I agree with a lot of the points that libertarians point out. And it's like a little, part of Twitter. I follow a lot of the accounts, but this one big account, I don't want to like shout it out. I don't want to get like tons of people messaging me, but he tweets Thaddeus. He tweets talking about, you should go to his Twitter. You can DL, but he put age of consent laws, Philippines 12, Japan 13, Italy 14, et cetera, et cetera. And these are like the big things that libertarians, in my mind, cannot answer. They can't answer, what if a 13-year-old girl who has no money or has money decides to sell it to prostitute herself? It's consensual, right? And how do you stop that then? And he's trying to make the argument that, well, it's case by case. And one, that's disgusting because clearly a 40-year-old man or woman has way more, can manipulate, can do all these things. How can a 14-year-old child consent to sex? That makes zero sense. I don't care what your philosophical argument that you use and what verbiage you use, that is a total fail. And they also can't solve, in my mind, I'm sure somebody has an answer, but monopolies. What would stop Amazon from just taking over the world? Well, the free market, it would balance out. Yeah, it wouldn't balance out because if you have no capital versus you have $400 billion in capital, you will squash each opponent you ever have, right? We wouldn't have got into this, whatever. But I'm just, there's so libertarian, in my mind, libertarianism works great. Like I agree with a lot of things in the hypothetical sense that people are moral, responsible, sane adults. But the issue is a lot of the population is not moral, is not sane, is not rational, and it would fall apart because people are freaking crazy, right? That makes sense, I think. I think we can understand. So this is why I'm like on this fence here after we're going to do this episode, that there is the best solution that, you know, won't ever happen, but is a Christian nation that has a powerful Christian church, whatever you want to call it, before it was perverted like the way it has been. And that's, we'll get into like Freemasonry with that. But yeah, so if you had a moral country, a Christian country, that's like this utopia or whatever, the best possible solution. And that's how it was, the people thought they were signing up for. So we're going to get into this. This is what this episode's about. So I just had to say those things. They were like on my mind and bothering me. But we have been tricked, like, to think that we are advanced or evolved because we took up democracies. And now I know your brain's probably like, what? No. But like, hear me out, okay? We're going to get through this episode and maybe you'll come to your own conclusion. But I think that we have given like the crowns of our sacred servants to a den of vipers. And that's what we have. Name one thing that this republic has improved upon. And if you have to think more than like 5 seconds, I'm sure we can say like voting rights, the 3/5, whatever. Okay, I'll give you like those are small victories, but are they really? I mean, obviously the 3/5 thing, but like, do you really want non-land owning individuals voting? Do you think it's okay that people who only take from the system have the same vote that people that put in the system? Because I sense a little conflict of interest there, because the people that are taking, they're going to vote whichever gives them more. They're not going to vote to get less. People that get paid by the your tax dollars, are they going to vote to lower how much tax money they get? No, they're not. So this republic is totally, and it's only getting worse, right? It just continues to get worse. But all right, so what does that have to do with Freemasonry? So what is Freemasonry? Obviously, it's a secret society, does not have rigid form. It conceals its true aim beneath like vague formulas. And they use them so vague because the deeper you get in, the more they can manipulate what they told you. And it's a Luciferian cult, right? At the top, at the bottom, no. But anyway, so how do we arrive at like this present knowledge of what Freemasonry is? Well, there's so much evidence. They have no shame, whether it's put out on purpose or put out because of a whistleblower, which I sometimes doubt. Regardless, it's, you know, they say what they're going to do pretty openly. And specifically, its main goal is to remove Christianity from the world, whatever you want, the country it's in, whatever. And this book, I'm not going to say the title. I know that's like so weird, but the title has some words in it that I think would get flagged. And I don't want to go down that road. So if you want it, DM me, I'll send it to you. But it has all these quotes. It backs up every statement that I'm going to make with the Freemason that wrote it in the letter or bragged about it and wherever. So all this stuff that I say, you can get the book, read it, double check my sources. I encourage you to double check my sources because people, Oh, what's up, Robert? So, for example, Illuminati, 1785, this Illuminati guy's riding on his horse, and an act of God, he gets struck by lightning. And the Bavarian government took up the matter, all these papers declaiming what they wanted to do or what they were going to do, all this stuff like that. And so Bavarian government took up that matter. Weishaupt was able to escape. Adam Weishaupt was the creator of the Bavarian Illuminati. And obviously probably his dad was like a rabbi, and then he went to a Jesuit school. I've done some stuff on Weishaupt, but that's not really the point of this. Other documents in 1845 came into possession by the Vatican. They published, passed these documents around Europe, like this group, the secret society is trying to overthrow us and the monarchy, like watch out, it's ignored. and 1919 in the Bolshevist Revolution, government got the Masonic archives of lodges, again, ignored. Except in Hungary, they were actually closed, but that was the one and only case of that. So Freemasonry is a body of superimposed secret societies spread throughout the world. Its aim is to destroy the present civilization based on Christian principles, to establish in its place an atheistic, rationalistic society, which leads to materialism. And though it's basically like to also to have like science as a religion. So you can see that's happening today. So basically make the rights of God and the rights of man to in turn have one God, the lovely state, who you can always see gets bigger and bigger, never gets smaller, but this republic's working out amazing. So Freemasonry is to create the revolutionary state of mind rather than to act directly. That's really important. Like they put the idea in your head and then they just let it go. Freemasonry today is different than the one in 1789 and the 1850s. It changes, right? Changes to stay with the times. Right now, I'd probably say it's like almost kind of in the shadows more, but anyway, so it's philanthropic, supposedly humanitarian and very progressive, always good. Most important is tolerance and solidarity between Masons. And that's really important because I think I can't remember which episode I did, but George Washington, Freemason, right? The British like had this fort or whatever, and he captured they took over the fort. It had like all this treasure or whatever you want to call it. Well, he returned the treasure to the nearest lodge that was still connected with the British. So if that doesn't say that, that just goes to show you that they value this brotherhood. They place this brotherhood above everything, party, class, nationality, religion. And their one thing is you're free to believe what he wishes. So you see, that's like one of those vague things. What the heck does free to believe what he wishes mean? You know, it's good to be vague before you're going to indoctrinate somebody that probably doesn't share the immediate beliefs that you're trying to lead them to. So how'd it start? Ugh, that is a rabbit hole that we could go down forever. Basically, though, the one that is, you know, you could say ancient Egypt, you could say Knights Templar, all this stuff. But the one that I did another episode on that, if you want to check it out, but that was written by a Freemason. So, but the one that exists in this time, it came out in 1717. So for example, though, Grand Orient of France, that's their like headquarters, had before World War I, 20,000 members, 400 lodges, 50 members per each lodge. Each lodge elects a delegate. These delegates meet twice a year. These delegates of these lodges elect 33 members appointed for 3 years to form the Council of the Order. This council elects a president, chairman, grandmaster. And so that sounds important, like, oh, grandmaster, he must be powerful. But really, these people are not, they're elected by their peers. So they like handle like the budget, the philanthropy, statues, little stuff like that. The real top guys don't get elected into their positions. So the apprentice first begins, if he accepts the Masonic light, that sounds great. He is passed through a lodge of companions. More observation, the companion can be promoted to master, then he can join a master lodge. Each Mason visits a lodge of some similar degree or inferior to his own. So you never go above, right? That keeps you like at that level of knowledge base. And then each own has its own ritual and different meaning for symbols. As you grow, you realize that different symbols mean different things as you get more and more information. So each lesser Mason is chosen by a higher Mason degree of their brothers, and they only admit who they select. And you can, degrees of companion, they form, and master, they form the lower Masonry or blue Masonry, which those people can resign at will. Anyone who becomes of this higher degrees, whose activity is unknown to the blue Masonry, they cannot resign at will. And there's a number of high degrees according to like which lodge you're at, federation rights, like the Grand Orient of France, they only practice 8 levels, some being like the Rosicroix or Rosicrucian, the Secret Calvary, etc. The Scottish Rite has 33 degrees. And as you rise, lesser and lesser admitted, and nothing is shared outside that degree. So at any lodge meeting, there's always one or more Masons present with a higher degree, all unknown to their lower brothers of their lower lodges. And the lower people are ignorant of what is done or said in the workshops of the higher degree. They're forbidden admit entrance. So we'll just skip that. So whoever's at the top controls the pyramid, controls the flow of information, ideas. Hopefully that makes sense. I'm saying this just to show you, like, your grandfather or your know somebody that was a Freemason. If they're your neighbor, you know, most likely they joined a fraternity of brothers and they don't really know, you know, they think it's like just a brotherhood and philanthropic and all those things, right? So, you know, it's a philanthropy group. Well, why would a philanthropy group have this clause that if you reveal secrets, these horrible consequences are going to happen to you? You know, why would you, a group that does charities, promise to, if I violate my oath, may my head be cut off, my heart, my teeth, my entrails be torn out and thrown into the sea. May my body be burnt and ashes cast to the wind, so nothing may remain of me or my thoughts. Huh, yeah, you know, that's, you're just giving money and hanging, drinking beer, but you know, that's the oath you need to take. So little info escapes the upper degrees, because if you want somebody to rise, you're not going to pick somebody that has like loose lips, you know, loose lips sink ships type of thing. Like, you wouldn't allow them to join you. And I don't know if I have this story yet, but I'll just say it now. So like the example I'm giving is like when I was in high school, they brought a hypnotist in. Okay. And I'm sure, you know, MK Ultra, there's real hypnotists, but this hypnotist, he picked kids out of the crowd and had them like pretend their hands were tied to a balloon, right? And so the people that were like willing to fake it, that they've been hypnotized, they were acting like the balloon was raising them. And those are the ones he picked to go on stage. The people that didn't do this, they didn't get picked. And that's just like how Freemasonry is. So if you see somebody that's really putting their heart into it, is going to do whatever you ask of them, that's who moves up, right? Okay, so revolutionary part of the Freemasonry world, 1789, the French Revolution. The story is like, the people were sick. They wanted to eat cake too. You know, they deserved, everyone was a brother. They wanted a constitution just like the United States. They didn't want to be under the monarchy anymore. And looking back now, like, I think a lot of us can understand that not many things are organic. They manipulate us, they pull strings. And today, or 1904, there was a trial in France to see just how organic that revolution was. And what do you know? Freemasonry, they elaborated how they were going to cause this great revolution that was going to change the face of the world. They were going to overthrow the French monarchy. They wanted to find a new civilization that was radically opposed to the old order. And what does that sound like? New world order, right? Necessary to overthrow the strengths of the old order. What are the strengths of the old order? Well, the church and the monarchy. And again, I know it's going to be like hard for you to people to accept or like pounded into us. The Constitution. It gives us everything, except it's written so complicated that you need a lawyer when you go to court, because they were wanting it for the regular people, right? They wanted it so you and I could understand. Like, for example, they wrote it so that, look at where it's gotten us. You think it was, they thought of everything? They didn't think of everything. They wrote it this way because they're all Freemasons. But anyway, okay. With the church and the monarchy destroyed, social order is without defense. This isn't only a political attack. Western civilization is founded on Christian ideas and discipline, right? And it was. So if you get rid of the monarchy, which was guiding by divine light, and whether you believe that or not, it's biblical, right? King Solomon, King David. I wish I read the Bible more, but the more I learn, the more I realize the Bible has a lot of amazing tips on how to live life if you want to call them that. And they're not, it's not often wrong. So maybe we should have, you know, anyway, okay. So how do you change the world when there's a divine right monarchical form of power of government? You can't, not easily, because they're the king. You can't really corrupt the king because he's got all the riches, right? So how do you change this old order? Well, you need to change the who's in power. So they tricked the people. They planted the seed, the revolutionary part of Freemasonry, 1789, 1792. So they planted the seed that people, you're not truly free. You don't know what liberty's like under this king. Sure, you know, you may be living okay, but you could be living better under a piece of paper with elected government. May they be corrupted? Yeah, maybe. But no, you're not free yet. So in the documents they found, you know, when the act of God struck the guy riding his horse in Bavaria, this was in the Illuminati, which is a Freemasonic set. Guide Europe to the point that all religion should be abolished, all monarchies overthrown, and all privileges of birth declared unjust, even the right of property done away with. 1789, or when was that? Yeah, 1789. Well, I think that paper, but anyway, it was right on the revolution. So what does that sound like today? Even the right of property done away with. It's weird that the World Economic Forum says the same thing. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And we're going to keep going, more and more evidence why it shows that the Republic, they're in for the long game, dude. They are in for the long game. Also, like inheritance tax, they don't want you to keep your money. They do not want you to keep your family wealth. They want to take it. So Masonic Congress was held in 1784. The Illuminati played a role. What did they talk about? They talked about the deaths of King Louis XVI and Gustavus III of Sweden. One important person returned to Paris after the convention, and his letter, another Freemason, a plot is being hatched, so well contrived, so deep, it will be difficult for the religion and the government to not succumb. Doesn't sound nefarious to me. Sounds like they want what's best for us. Reverend Father Abel, son of the minister of Bavaria, also talked about what his father told him, who was a big time Freemason, about the plans to murder the monarchs. He said his father's dying wish was for him to repair the harm which he and our relatives had done. You see, it was so easy for them to take over, guys, so easy, because the old order was disorganized. It was moral. So they saw the best in people, right? There were issues with the monarchy. I'm not like saying they're perfect. I have my own theories about the Windsors. They probably made an agreement like, well, let us keep our money and some of our influence and we'll let you do this, no problem. But besides that, the old order though was disorganized because, you know, they didn't have the amount of corruption that they had today. And these Freemasons were such smart, brilliant guys. They really were. The old order didn't see the value in newspapers. They didn't see the order or the positiveness of how to influence public opinion. The Masons did, and they capitalized on each one of those things. French Freemason Gaston Martin, he wrote this thing, How Do You Plan a Revolution? What a good guy. Elaboration of the revolutionary doctrine. The philosophers and Freemasons created doctrines and pushed out certain thought processes, pushed Masons first. Like they tell these Masons, you're not free. You're not free. You're not free. Whispering in your ear, liberty, liberty. You're not free. And then they would come home and they were powerful people, doctors, lawyers. They start conversing with their friend and it's just building a whole new culture. And they have no one stopped today. If you push out another doctrine, you try to organize, you'll be infiltrated before you have two people in the group. Propagation of doctrine. Elections put into power people of Freemasonic belief and doctrines. So you overthrow the monarchy, you put your people in that believe the same way as you, they keep the process going. It's an insidious cycle that's so well thought out. Again, I'm going to say, what has our republic given us that what's gotten better in 200 years? What is voting? What is the republic? done that made our society better in 200 years, 300 years, whatever you want to call it, 400 years, 300 years? I can't honestly answer that question. The active part of Freemasonry and overthrowing the revolution, it's they put plant the seed like the Inception movie. You know, they give you the idea and then they step back and let them do it. And what they realized, which was key, was they invaded the royal government by putting their Freemasons in the royal government. But what was key is you penetrate the military. What do we have today? What do we have today? Woke agenda going into the military. It's they use the same playbook. And the French monarchy fell because the military did not come to its aid. The military is an essential element in the new ideas. And what do we have today, guys? It's the same thing. This is the French Revolution. They did the same thing. Freemasonry and the terror. So lots of massacres in 1792. It was a little like, they're like, oh, shoot, these people are nuts because they're going a little crazy. It's a little too much murder for us. You know, will they find us out? But people are, you know, they just get so riled up. Again, January 6th is an example. It's just super sad. So many moves ahead. Okay. Easily manipulated. You guys understand this. It takes one person to, like, smash a window and then the whole world goes crazy, or the whole group, you know. Mason Jean-François Marmontel. France, you ever notice French has so many awesome words that you don't have a word for, like in English, like déjà vu and je ne sais quoi. I wish I, you know, so many things I wish I could learn in life. But anyway, money. So this Mason, Jean or whatever, Jean, money above all and the hope of pillage are all powerful among the people. So the Masons during the French Revolution, they, you know, you're not free. You have nothing. It's their fault. It's the monarchy's fault. So he encouraged these employees and these workers to plunder and pillage the own factories that employed them. And where do we see that again today? BLM being pushed. They loot, they burn their own neighborhood. Where are they going to get groceries when they loot the Target? Target can take the hit, but are they going to want to open again? If you loot the shoe store that you get your shoes from, where are you going to get shoes? So they did the same thing in the French Revolution. His quote, 1,000 coins can make a very good occasion for sedition. Wow, the Masons, such a philanthropic group. Does a nation know what it wants? Another quote, the nation is a great flock which can only think of its pasture. The help of good sheepdogs, the shepherds can guide as they will. Sorry, a few more quotes, but I'm just giving you evidence that the Freemasons planned these revolutions and they don't look out for us, right? Neither their old system of government, their religion, their morals, nor their antiquated prejudice are worth preserving. And this was said again, almost 250 years ago. Does it sound out of place at all today? Or does it sound like the same sadistic, psychotic people that run our world? Powerful motives to stir a revolt, still that Mason. Oh, these are the powerful motives. Scarcity, hunger, money, alarming and terrifying rumors, madness of terror and fury will strike into the people's minds. This was one of his last. The bourgeois produces elegant speakers, all of paid a coin apiece in wine shops, public places. Oh, I missed that. All of these orators are nothing in comparison with our statesmen who are paid a coin apiece to speak in wine shop and public places. Basically, you pay people over to speak to the common man at the bar or wherever. You get them riled up. And where do we see this? That guy, John Sullivan, who his dad's an Air Force colonel, who was Antifa or BLM. He was in the summer, he was saying, let's rip him out of the White House. And then he's there January 6th selling his footage to CNN for $60,000. It's the same exact thing over again, right? They realize good people are like feeble and timid, and the worthless are determined. It's an advantage for people to have people in a revolution that have no morality. And again, I don't need to say it again and again, right? The beginning of the revolution, Freemasonry closed all its lodges as precautionary, just to be like, see, we were closed. We didn't do it. The secret clubs, of course, for the elite levels still existed. They create the revolutionary state of mind. And then they those people that are now like, they're the fighters, the head of the movement. So Freemasonry in France from 1793 to our days. So they overthrew the Marie Antoinette and the monarchy, and they propped up Napoleon. And we'll continue with Napoleon here. And Napoleon spread the revolutionary spirit all throughout Europe. And I need to get better on my Napoleon info, but his quotes were like, "I have consecrated the revolutions. I have instilled it into the laws. I have sown liberty broadcast wherever I've implanted my civil code." And he was, for Europe, was like the revolution for Europe that happened in France. But then Napoleon, being the badass that he is, the secret societies turned against him because he reestablished like his own hereditary, stable, conservative autocracy. Oh, I don't know. Sorry. He gets excommunicated from Freemasonry in 1809. He doesn't care, dude. He's a savage. He's dominating. And the hidden power could not oppose the wish of the whole nation because they all supported Napoleon. So now they were able to salvage this movement by maintaining that revolutionary spirit all throughout Europe, but they lost, right? So they lost with Napoleon. He got put into power and then he said, you know, screw you, I'm out. So the important points were the separation of church and state and the suppression of the absolute monarchy. And constitutional government was implanted in France, and that gave it, you know, a chance. So they wasn't all lost. They now had a constitution. The church was out of power. Their boy Napoleon wasn't listening, but they got like 2 out of 3, right? That's important. In 1818, the provisional government of 9 out of 11 of this new government were Freemasons. But there was, again, so much belief in Napoleon. It got to Napoleon III to the throne. And, you know, whether he loved the power and was power hungry, which I'm sure he was dropping away from the Republic and just kind of restarting a new monarchy just now with a new bloodline. But then in 1871, the Masons renewed the revolution and called on more than 55 lodges and 10,000 Masons to rile up the people. But they're philanthropic. They love you. They just want what's best for the world. This is one of the greatest revolutions that the world has seen. And they came together to make sure Napoleon 2.0 did not happen. So with the Count of Chambord and installed the Republic, which again is the easiest form of government to control. Since then, France has, and that leads us to today. Since then, France has been on a downward spiral. If you watch any like Twitter, I pay attention, like what it looks like, what it's happening to France. It's a shit show for lack of words. I mean, that place has such an amazing history, dude, amazing. Like the Templars, Crusades, these beautiful churches, and so much amazing, amazing history. And now you wouldn't recognize Paris. You would not recognize it. And you think that's an accident? The Republic brought that. The Republic lost its national identity of France because some forces are trying to ruin it. And it wouldn't have been the monarchy and the church. Any form of conservativeness is gone. The monarchy dismantling the power of the Catholic Church in France. And I also want to say this, the Catholic Church is not a good entity as a whole. It's probably a Luciferian church, the Pope, all those people, they're sickos, pedophiles, psychopaths. But I'm not going to broad stroke and say every priest is a pedophile, right? There's good priests, and the values that a powerful church installs on a nation are, you can't put a value on that. You know, like when people feared being a bad person because their community was filled with good people, that raises your community. We have no values today, none. And that's all across Western Empire. And that has not benefited us in any single way. I mean, we see the rampant degeneracy that is crumbling American Europe, crumbling. And you guys know what I'm talking. It's disgusting. Masonic Convention 1902, closing speech. The last phrase of the struggle of the church and its congregations against our Republican society. This effort must be the last. And again, now it's cognitive dissonance again. It's probably like still like, you know, I don't know, the church, the monarchy. And again, does the Republic represent us? Has voting solved any single issue in this country or in Europe? When do the rules benefit us or the laws that help the public? And I'm sure we could like think of a few things here, but if it was beneficial for us, why would it be this difficult to get things that are good for the people? It's because the Republic's not made for us. Some other quotes from Masons. The French subject to was and that have been examined by, they're just in some quotes in the paper, sorry. For 10 years in the French paper, for 10 years we have marched forward repeating, clericalism is the enemy. We have everywhere schools without religious teachings. Priests are reduced to silence and seminarists have to carry the soldier's pack. No ordinary result in a nation which calls itself the eldest daughter of the church. So they're bragging. This Freemason, again, I have all the quotes, this high-ranked Freemason bragging that no religious teaching in school, priests are silenced, and they destroyed France. They're cheering. Freemasonry also established the Republic as a free Masonic state. 1924, socialist elections in France. Who's elected? Freemason socialists elected. Anyone who was wise and anti-Mason? Well, they got the shit kicked out of them. Some things they got passed. They got like the suppression of the embassy to the Vatican. They demanded an application for any new congregation you are starting for a Christian congregation. I wonder if they do that. Never mind. Instituted laicity, which means it's essentially our separation of church and state. So they separated their church and state. And when people saw this, I don't even know. People didn't write and vote on the Republic. Freemasons wrote the Constitution. But most people take that clause as, yes, no government in my church. I don't need the government like California telling me I can't go practice my religion. But the truth is, they don't want the people who wrote it, they don't want the church in the government because they want to commit usury. They're committing adultery. They're doing all this disgusting, horrendous stuff. And if the church was involved in our government, well, they would have more of an issue, right? But they don't want the church in governmental affairs because they're disgusting degenerates. Lodge gave full amnesty for, in 1924, they gave full amnesty for condemned traitors that pushed socialist agenda that were previously kicked out, got an electoral system, non-religious education system, government monopoly on teaching, always works out well. Reopen relations with the Soviets. So weird. Why would they do that, right? I'm sure they were really, you know, concerned about the exchange of ideas. It's because the Freemasons are all on the same team in every nation. Because 1924, they just overthrew the monarchy there as well. Inaugurate the economic system to pave way for socialism, which we have right now, globalism, which is an international tool of Freemasonry. Again, Freemasonry is the real master of the Republic's undoing Christianity, destroy the capitalist system and individual ownership, replace it with a communist state in which the banks and factories owned everything. You just rent and you better stay in line. Also, a goal of Freemasonry was lower the birth rate. Huh. Let's check any comments. All right. Thanks for the people watching. Honestly, I hope you're enjoying it. Now we're going to go History of Masons in the European countries. So how did they overthrow each one? Well, let's get to it, right? Portugal, badass country, right? Got Brazil, powerhouse, that little thing. I don't know what the size of Portugal is, but it's not big. Not big. So the free thinking, that free thinking we cherish so much, which we don't have because you get locked up or canceled if you question any things that they deem as true. But the Republic, Freemasonry go hand in hand. The head of Portuguese Masonry was Grandmaster Magalhães Lima. He was a journalist, politician, and a free thinker. 1907, he comes to Paris to give some of the French lodges lectures. Basically, he talks a lot about how to overthrow the monarchy and the need of a republican form of government. So crazy. Why are they? It's amazing they all got on the same wavelength. Shockingly, 2 weeks later, King Carlos of Portugal and his eldest son were assassinated. I'm sure none had anything to do with the other. Then they, like this ineffective King Manuel, inherited the throne. He was ineffective and was banished. And you see, that was the power of like the people then. If you were a horrible king, they would, you would, you know, eventually lose once you lost enough of the, if the church didn't have your back and the people didn't have your back, you're screwed. And that was that system of checks and balances. And again, I'm not saying it's a perfect system, but is this system perfect? Freemasons, that again, they never hid their hand in this revolution either. The Mason Fernemont, Grand Orator of the Grand Orient, said in 1911, recalled the deep feeling of pride which we all felt at the brief announcement of the Portuguese Revolution. In a few hours, the throne was brought down, the people triumphed, and the Republic proclaimed. Well, Freemasons never did anything bad before, so he must be right. Another example, the majority of outstanding men during the religious and political and literary upheavals of Portugal during the last two centuries belonged to Freemasonry. I mean, that's as clear as day. The majority of outstanding men during the religious, political, and literary upheavals of Portugal during the last two centuries belonged to Freemasonry. Those who overthrew the monarchy belonged to families which held important posts in Spain, Holland, England, and America, all united by Masonry. Spain. So what happened in Spain with the Freemasons? Like everywhere, destruction of the monarchy and religion. Another guy, Grandmaster Masonic Congress in 1891. People have always followed the policy of the king, and that time has passed. The Republic in Spain is a necessary progress, which is not far off. If Alphonse XIII has not been assassinated, it's not for lack of trying. Empty pretexts. They made up a thing, caused a revolt in Barcelona, massacres, fires broke out, martial law gets formed. But again, this is an interesting story. That Mason, who was the instigator, he was arrested and condemned to death, Mason Ferrer. Lying telegrams were sent out all over Europe, and Mason-owned newspapers stepped in. Mason and Zionist and other owned newspapers stepped in, told the people he was not tried correctly. They're the monarchy, they're just no freedom, no freedom. So all of Europe getting hot and bothered. Threats, mobs encircled the king, threatening to kill church clergy, the king. Petitions circulated Paris, Rome, London, Berlin, Freemason strongholds. He gets executed, riots break out. 57, and here's, again, it's just like the same thing. Dude, they do the same thing. So 57 streets in France want to name their street name after this guy who caused a revolution, who caused death, destruction, and because the news told them it was unfair and it was wrong. What do we have today? We have George Floyd statues everywhere. And no, he should not have, if he died by the police, the police should not have done that. No, absolutely not. But does he deserve statues? Does this Ferrer who caused death and destruction deserve streets? No. This is the news. That's how powerful it is. The Grand Orient of Paris sent Masonic powers to protest the judgment. They either really liked this guy, probably didn't care about him, or they used him as a thing to get the people riled up. Here's a letter written by Farrow to show that he is a Freemasonic scumbag. The aim of my propaganda, I frankly admit, is to form in my schools anarchists to bring the revolution. They must learn that against the police and clergy, there is only one means of action, bombs and poison. And these documents were found hidden in his apartment in an underground room. After the execution, the cabinet of Madrid was obliged to resign. And this, of course, delighted all those great free thinkers in Europe. Italy, another amazing country, right? The revolutionary attempts which have occurred since 1821 in Italy were the work of Freemasonry, written by a Mason Choison in 1907 at a Parisian lodge. Italian Masonry exalted from the Italian government, occupation of Rome, and the abolition of the power of the Pope. The revolution is built up by the Masons until the best moment to execute the ruin of the Austrian Catholic monarchy. Mazzini and Gibraldi, Freemasons, made the crowned heads turn pale in a Masonic journal. So two Masons made the church and the monarchy shake, is what they wrote in their Masonic papers. Lodge is connected with the Young Turks, and not the Young Turks from my hippie episode, but the Young Turks, and not the Young Turks of the guy on the TV or on YouTube, that loser, but I think the Young Turks that committed like the genocide. But the lodge is connected with the Young Turks. They'll prepare the revolution in Italy. The Young Turk Party, little by little, became all Freemasons. Austria-Hungary. And it would take forever. I could like keep going. It's just the same thing. Modern revolutions of Siberia, Greece, Germany, and everywhere else in Europe. You can thank the Freemasonic and Zionist individuals. The one interesting one is Hungary. So the Bolshevik Revolution happens, and then they have this revolution. Belikan was the guy's name, I think. And I'm sorry if I'm wrong. My Hungarian historical knowledge is lacking, but one day I'll be there. But anyway, so the government, they overthrew the monarchy, republic, and the church. Government seized and published all the Masonic archives, exposing their connection with the revolutionary movement. And I've been thinking, like, why would they do that? You know, because they helped overthrow it. Again, you probably have a case where someone gets the power and now they're nervous they're going to get overthrown as well. So the Grand Master of Hungarian Masonry, Dr. Apad Bokay, made like this patriotic speech. Let's see. The enemies of Hungary are in league to destroy Austrian Hungary. It is the monarchy which has protected the people in the most effective manner. And so he's like admitting, you know, the monarchy protects the people. In that same year, the imperial government was overthrown. Viennese masonry hailed this event. Six Freemasons belonged to the first Hungarian Republic government. And but so now the Republic, or the Republic's Institute of the Communist Belikan, is viewing Freemasonry as like, well, it's a little bourgeois. Can't trust them. So they're going to publish these archives, and the Hungarian Masons call up all their bros all over the world, like, yo, they're going to find us out. We got to stop it. They called upon North American Masons, and Hungary needs a loan. Well, luckily our Rockefeller and JP Morgan are Zionist and probably Freemasonic, other secret societies that are all linked together, just like different trees of the same branch. And they denied the loan because they said, no, if you're going to publish that, we're not going to give you a loan. And this is important because it shows American Masonry, Masonry is used as a global bargaining chip. In 1922, the Grand Master at the Geneva Conference, all these various countries applied pressure on Hungary, France, Italy, still did not yield. And they published the documents. So communism didn't bring much, but they did bring these published Masonic archives. Crimes of Freemasonry, the secret Masonic work of destruction, which led Hungary to the revolution, basically just talks about the same things I just bring up. the list of members, and the, it has all the Hungarian members' names of the Freemite of the Lodge. How do I say this next part? I'm going to skip it. 90% were of, 90% were similar. That's the best I got. Okay. You know, I don't want to get flagged on YouTube, and I don't need that kind of hate in my life. So first chapters talked about how Masons documented their struggles against the church and religious teaching in schools. Their campaign is in favor of removing nationalism and in turn favoring internationalism. The last chapters talked about how Masons systematically took down the monarchy. And chapter 10, proof that the charity had never been the principle behind the Hungarian Freemasonry. Obviously, it was banned in 1886 to get involved. So it was allowed eventually, you know, in the beginning in Hungary. And they said, okay, you guys are giving too much money around. We don't want you involved in politics. So they banned it. But as you know, secret societies, they don't really work in the open. So again, because we're being ran by an honest, relatively honest church, churchian values, and a relatively honest monarchy that isn't really open to corruption because they want what's best for their country, because the richer their country gets, the richer they get, the more power they get, the more prestige. You know, they say, hey, you got to stop doing that. And they think everyone's going to listen. We recognize that charity such as we now practice does not correspond with our ideas, must concentrate our attention on the necessity of achieving radical changes in the actual society. Freemason quote. And just like everywhere, worked via the press. The majority of the press printed whatever the Freemasons and other groups told them to print. So they wanted to destroy the national sentiment. What is it? Does that sound like today? This is an 1800s, destroy national sentiment. The daily paper was responsible for weakening the discipline of the Hungarian army. Copies were distributed by the thousands for free, of course, to them in the trenches, talking about how unfree they were and how oppressed they were and how this they could have so much of a better life if they just overthrew the monarchy. Again, where do we have that today? And see, today it's not overthrowing from capital, it's overthrowing capitalism to communism so that the monopoly can take place and one group can own everything and you own nothing. It's just the same tricks, same tricks. The papers also defended the banker immigrants who were doing shameful speculation in stock market things in the war, which was destroying people's financial systems because they were honest. They invested in things when people told them that they should invest in it in this Hungarian time, and they got scammed. And the papers defended them. Poison, again, like, ugh, ugh. Poisoned youth at schools by anti-patriotic theories from the paper The Villag, local paper. The exaggerated teaching of the Hungarian language and the exaltation of patriotic sentiments by the study of national songs have one result, brutalizing children. Does that sound like that could be written today? It was written 200 years ago. The study of national songs have one result, brutalizing children. Is this the Washington Post? But no one cares. They just keep voting for the whoever idiot that they put in front of us because it's the lesser of two evils. We're arguing about the dumbest shit. Do you see what do you, again? Oh, I was already doing before I said it. I wrote, do you see? What do you see today? It's the same thing. You know, saying the Pledge of Allegiance is racist. Putting your hand over your heart for the national anthem, white supremacist. Going to church, believing in God, racist. Sorry. Kellett, the official paper of the Hungarian Freemasons, wrote, we must win over the teachers, the schoolmasters, in order to reach through them the soul of the young and prepare the way for the non-religious instructions. Teachers must be the forerunners of most advanced ideas. And where's our woke agenda come from for our kids? Public school teachers. It's depressing. It's depressing. No one reads, though. No one cares. Go football, whatever sport. Okay. 1918, Freemasons sent their Grand Master to say they will support the new government in Hungary. Again, France, Britain, all theirs sent reps to stop the prosecution of Freemasonry in Hungary. Freemasonry, that's the end of Hungary. So you see, they did the same step by step. Demoralize the population. You're not free. Your life could be better if you just overthrow this. Don't have nationalism. Nationalism now is now synonymous with white supremacy and bad. You should not be ashamed to be, you know, making American, that's your like tribe. They don't want you tribal because they want globalism. They want you tribal against your fellow Americans. And you see on Twitter as much as I do, I click on comments and the fighting that goes on between R versus L, D versus R. It's brutal. It's brutal. So certain authors have stated the war of 1914 was a Masonic Zionist war, which it is, right? The Balfour Declaration, Rothschild, they got the land of, we'll go on over World War One some other time. But huge gains, you know, huge wealth redistribution, fall of European monarchies. They're bad guys, right? The monarchs, they were the bad ones. We were the good guys. We were just trying to give them freedom. What do we do that in Middle East today? Demoralization of Europe, destruction of Catholic Austria, huge transfers of wealth, the Savarevo crime and Freemasonry. September 1912, International Review of Secret Societies published, light will be shed one day on these words out of a high Swiss Freemason on the subject of the heir to the throne of Austria. He is a remarkable man. It is a pity that he is condemned. He will die on the steps of the throne. 1913. This is like a sad story. 1913, the Archduke, heir to the Brown. I don't know if I mistyped it. I can't remember now. If it's not Brown. Oh, Crown. Oh my God. Heir to the crown of the Austrian monarchy and his wife succumbed to bullets by Serbian Freemasons. 2 weeks later, one of the assassins, Kabrinovic, said to the judge, in Freemasonry, it is allowed to kill. The Archduke and Archduchess arrived on official tour at Sarajevo. It's a small town near Bosnia in the Serbian frontier. And they're in the backseat of a motor car. This is the one I think that has the license plate of the date that World War I starts as on the plate of their car. Look that up if you guys haven't seen it. Just shows you it's all planned. They tell you what they do. Maybe they fear, you know, there's some karma distribution system, karmic. But yeah, they have the exact date that the war starts. So they're in the back seats in this motor car with the general sitting like opposite of them. Car's proceeding slowly. They're waving to the crowd. And then there's eight assassins in the crowd with bombs and revolvers. What did the one Freemason said? We need revolutionaries with bombs and poison. Kabrinovic, Princip, and Grabez. One threw his bomb and explodes near the car, wounding a few. They stop the car to inquire about the wounded. The Archduke, then they continue the trip. They make their trip. They go wherever they go. And on the way back, they're sitting and shots are fired. They fire close range at the car. His wife, the Archduchess, collapses quietly on her husband's shoulder. And the Archduke says, Sophie, do not die. Live for the sake of our children. And then he realized he's shot too. He says, it is nothing. It is nothing. And then he dies. The two bodies are carried after arriving at the palace. It's too late. They're dead. And yeah. So again, Freemasons killed the monarchy because they wanted to systematically destroy all of Europe. We're not free under a monarchy in the church. You can't go sodomize every person that walks down the street. They're oppressing us. You know, you can't commit adultery under the church. You're oppressed, right? That's why, like, again, libertarian, it just sounds to me like you just want to do drugs and do whatever you want. And I don't want people telling me what to do within reason. I don't know, that might have been a good point. But again, like, are we better now than they were then? They had nationalism. They were their tribe. They defended their countries. They loved their countries. They loved their leader. They loved their church. Today, we changed that. And yeah, was there a heart? You know, you couldn't speak out against it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure you couldn't. But we have political prisoners today. It's the same thing. I don't see, like, literally any difference. So my friend that's sitting in federal prison because he walked through the hall. He didn't destroy anything. He walked through the halls that, you know, our tax dollars pay for, that they screw us constantly out of. And so we gave up, you know, this strong moral society for free porn, which you're, you know, your soul's the product, out of wedlock children, single mothers. Just crazy. Maybe I'll make a shirt or have lived one. Bring back the monarchy, but we'll pick a new monarchy. I don't trust the Queen of England at all. Bring back the church, maybe. That's probably more legitimate. Bring back the church. Churchian values. 20 accused people appeared before the military court. All were young men, 18 to 20, mostly students. Who's always in our streets? Looting and burning, similar age group. They were convinced they were being oppressed. Now again, who does the most avid protesters of today? Who are they? Is it old people? No, it's not old people with jobs, not old people with families, really. Some crazier ones that have been brainwashed, but it's impressionable kids who are inundated with propaganda at college and they're lost. And they think that their life will be better under a different system. Freemasonry has already condemned the death of the heirs of the throne 2 years prior. They had in these meetings that documents they found, but they couldn't find any men to carry out the judgment that they wanted. And in the trial, they were asked if they read the books of the Rosicrucian, asked if they believe in God. They said no. Freemason, and that he has all the trial transcripts. Freemason said killing is okay and condemned the death of Archduke Franz Ferdinand more than a year before. They interrogated, said his lodge provided the means and the strategy to kill him. And of course, the Freemasonic / you know, controlled press was silent on the trial. So Ludendorff, former general commanding chief of German armies, found proofs that Freemasons had something in store for Germany, something bad. He went to the Grand Master of Germany, Count Dona Schloden, and confronted him. He said, dude, what the hell? And because remember that clause that they protect their brothers above all else? Well, yeah, he protected his brothers. Archduke knew an attempt on his life was imminent. He told his military general that the Freemasons had resolved his death. And he still went traveling to say hi to everybody. Sorry. Thanks, Jesse. Freemasonry against central monarchies. Freemasonry Congress in Paris, April 1917 was a subject. How strong can a movement? All the Freemasonries met in Paris, the big boys said, how can we provoke a movement against the German monarchy? Because World War I, there was still the Kaiser in Germany. They're the evil Huns, isn't that what they called them? They determined peace could not be conducted before William II and Charles I are deposed. So Freemason Wilson announced to the American Congress that war was against the German government, not the people, because they want our freedom. And where have we used that excuse time and time again? They're jealous of our freedom. We need to give American democracy to the world. Now, why? Besides the military-industrial complex, it's a strategy of who we went to war with. And it wasn't because we were trying to help them. It wasn't because we were attacked, right? We weren't provoked. False flag, we were provoked. But it's because Freemasons wanted to overthrow these European monarchies. In World War I, Germany was kicking the shit out of everybody because they had subs. And then they pulled back because they felt bad. They were like starving the UK. And the UK, they were going to lose. And the Freemasons all, and Zionists and bankers, all pulled American into the war. Woodrow Wilson is probably, I hope he is burning in hell. Okay. Probably, if not the worst, one of the top five worst presidents. Just evil. Skull and bones educated. Horrible. That's the next episode, though. Freemasonry. During the first weeks of the war, a great Masonic meeting was held in the U.S. Resolution was passed to give Britain and all our allies all the possible support, of course. Some newspapers said Freemasonry comprises of more than 2 million members. Every Mason knows the World War was for the safety of the Republic, struggle of democracy against autocracy, the future of the Republic, whether the Kaiser knows it or not. Their freedom. They hate us for our freedom. Since January 1918, we have methodically prepared the revolution. We paid for it many years in prison. The Social Democratic Party had seen the great strikes do not lead to revolution. It is necessary to use other means. We organized the deserters with false papers, money and propaganda, leaflets inciting desertions, sent agents in all directions to work upon the soldiers to disintegrate the army, to join the enemy. Thus, the downfall was brought little by little, but with certainty. Badass Masonic quote, but right? So I think, all right, we're almost done here. So hopefully you guys are enjoying this episode. I'm like heated today, heated this week. I just saw that lady who tackled the kid because she thought he stole his phones got charged with a hate crime. And I am heated, It's crazy, crazy world. All right, what Freemasonry really is, it's a secret society, obviously philanthropic, humanitarian, and clearly in contradiction because that's everything they said we have not and proven that they are not. Talked about like it came from possibly the Phoenicians and Kabbalistic Jewish sects of Egypt. The aim was to remove Christianity from all over the world, institute atheistic rationalism, science worship, which is what we have today. I'll tell you this, they are so smart at what they did. Like, they're brilliant. I mean, this plan has been thought out hundreds of years in advance, and they are truly amazing. They would use, if you indoctrinate like the clergy, politicians, civil servants, journalists, teachers, you have no chance at standing against them, right? Because they get your children. And TV propaganda. Sorry, I'm skipping around here. So I don't want to go too long. Oh, here, this was a good part. This is important. So I talk about like that new age stuff that we see on the internet or like on Twitter, like, you know what new agey is, like, oh, we're all one race, blah, 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 man. You know, just took and ate the shrooms to see the universe. And that's all good if it makes you happy, dude. I don't care. But just so you know, that's pulled from the same groups that are Freemasons, right? Like Illuminati of Weishaupt, Rite of Memphis, OTO, which NY Patriot was in the chat, but OTO, which is Crowley, B'nai B'nerth, the Sons of the Covenant, Rosicrucians, Theosophy, all linked to Freemasonry, which is a huge connection to all the New Age worship. Annie Besant, which was Blavatsky's like top dog, she worked with the Grand Orient of Paris. She worked hand in hand with the French Masons, the Grand Masters Masons. They all work in the same direction, religious mysticism or empiric science to undermine Christianity. That's what they all do. So that might be hard for people to hear that are like all into that, but it's all to undermine Christianity, which was the goal of the Freemasons. Ethical to corrupt morality of races, weaken marriage bonds, destroy family, abolish inheritance. Pretty successful, I'd say, right? Atheistic, aesthetic, Cult of the Ugly, and horrible art and literature, music, drama, modernism, degeneracy. So create, who funds the artists? Who buys art? Rich people. Who are the rich people? Masons. Who decides what music gets made? The record label. Who owns the record label? Rich people. Are they going to put out wholesome Christian music? Nope. And they talked about this in the 1900s. Abolish the aristocracy, the rule of the fit, creation of the plutocracy, rule of the rich, create a class warfare. This is all, again, in this Annie Besant and other like quotes. I'm just pulling things. Industrial and financial, destroyed ideas of craftsmanship and pride in handicraft, standardization of cheap, shoddy work, leading to the abolition of private ownership and estate monopoly, because you don't know how to make anything, because you just bought crap that was made in China for pennies on the dollar. So they can, like, who knows how to make anything? I suck. I'm happy. I hung this mirror that you can't see that's behind me, and I think I've hung some floating shelves. Those are probably my greatest accomplishments of handicraft, handiwork. Political, kill patriotism and nationalism in the name of progress and set up internationalism. Prepare for the super government of which will rule the world. Well, you know, they're Freemasons, they're a philanthropic group. They don't mean anything. And again, the Masons aren't all bad. It's not like, you know, your grandfather, your uncle who goes to the lodge to, you know, hang out with his buddies. I hate like that, like, oh, he's a free, you know, he's controlled up or whatever. They use it as a front. They do this with, their ties stem from older groups and beliefs. I don't know who it is yet. Maybe it's the Sabbatean Frankist. Maybe it's the Kabbalist. But they hide in everything. They hide in religion. They hide in every secret society. They want to throw a big net out, get the people they need and all these groups, get their beliefs and get everybody and put them in positions that they can utilize them. So let's see. Oh, there's another. Oh, English Masonry. Even Thomas Paine, you know, everyone loves using his quotes. He was there at the French Revolution, helping overthrow the monarchy. Is it because he cared about the people? All these examples show Freemasonry knew what it was doing. Maybe some Freemasons thought it was for the benefit of the people. I'll like give you that. Absolutely. That's a possibility. But at the end of the day, it's they did this because they were tricked thinking that this was the solution. He returned to this country and made 8 lodges. Love Freemasonry. Probably was one of those bad guys, right? I told you about Theosophy being tied to Freemasonry with Annie Besant. Both her groups, they were vehicles for the new manifestation of the Messiah. If you don't know what that is, the next, since Christians believe the Messiah was Jesus, any other Messiah would be the Antichrist in Revelations. And they're trying to bring that, they're trying to get the people, the Antichrist to come. She has direct influence of a great wide lodge of Kabbalists. Her aim was also to unite the states of Europe and an NW, a one world government. The Morningstar Secret Society, which is another name, but I couldn't read it. Rosicrucian Order of Masonry, pseudo-religious study of occultists, studying practical magic, English clergymen, church dignitaries, all these people, they are secretly part of this group that are training the young men for ministry so they could corrupt their minds. Crowley was a member of the Morningstar group before getting expelled and created the OTO. Ties between occultism and communism. 1889, the Workers' Congress held in Paris, Besant being one of the speakers, the delegates of the Workers' Party. Why is occultism hanging with communists? Because again, it all leads to the same evil, degenerate society. She was greeted with tons of applause. Spiritualist. She meets at like a spiritualist meeting. They're tied with the Freemasons. So people like hold a lot of seances back in those days, things like that. It's all part of the same plan. Occult powers are at work among men. Spiritism is a powerful germ which will develop and bring about the transformation of laws written by the Grand Orient of Freemasonry in Paris. ideas and social forces, it will show powerful influence on social economy and public life. All right, I said the wide net thing. All right, this is the last part of notes, so I hope you're enjoying it. Let me go here. Bolshevism. My next episode is all about Bolshevists, but funded by the bankers to overthrow the monarchy. I already said that. Like Trotsky had an American passport because he was kicked out of Tsarist Russia and I think monarchy controlled France. Oh no, I guess Napoleon controlled France, I think. You know, so I thought we hated communism. Why would we give them a legit passport? Because they're all ran by the same group. 545 Bolshevists practice Kabbalism, occult worship, Kabbalist. Russia prior to Bolshevism is the granary of Europe. How do you create a revolution? Create scarcity. Bolsheviks took over. No food. Well, you don't step out of line if you're barely getting fed. What are they doing now? Bill Gates buying all the farmland, right? And I know they might not call themselves Freemasonry these days. They, as I just said, all those groups all enter, it's like a tree. And they just find a new group, whether it's like the CFR, whether it's like whatever you want to think of, the Illuminati, the bank. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. It's Freemasonry. It's like an idea. It doesn't matter the title. It's anti-Christian, globalist, degenerate, enslaving the people one value at a time. Demoralization of young people, they taught in Bolshevists, teaching the lowest sexual instincts. What do we have today? Organized destruction of the family, massacre of the clergy, transformed all the churches into dance halls and bars. Bolshevik, Freemasonic, Zionist controlled Russia. Relied on a strongly, carefully chosen police. They generally paid it so they'd be ready to do everything, whatever they asked. Have the most up-to-date weapons possible against their lesser powered mobs. It's just the same tricks, dude. Overall, in Bolshevik Russia, over 3 million people were murdered in 1918 to 1919. 3 million. And last topic I wanted to cover was the press. So Masonic, Zionist, banker, elitist controlled press. It is school for adults. It is our only source of information, right? Besides the internet, which is why they censor it. Public opinion is a reflection of the news. Even clergymen, churchians are influenced by the press more than we realize. We all are. 3/4 Catholics have been estranged from the church by the press. If you do not have power of the press, all you will do is in vain. It cannot be independent. Its primary concern is to make as much money as possible or to push out a narrative, because who's paying for it? A sincere independent paper would never exist. It would be operating an annual deficit. John Swinton at the Banquet of Press in New York. Independent press does not exist in America. Not one of them dares to express a sincere opinion. If they did so, they know beforehand it will never be printed. I am paid $150 in order that I should not put my ideas in that newspaper I write for. The duty of the New York journalist is to lie, to threaten, to bow down to defeat, and to sell their country for their daily bread. And this is why any journalist I have zero respect for. Zero. I don't care if you fell into that profession. I don't care. I don't. You're a horrible person. You are a liar. You would manipulate or change your beliefs to fit what you're supposed to write, like all those blue check marks. And you may think you know you're doing the wrong thing. You know you're lying. Just disgusting, dude. Art and music as well. I talked about this. You're putting out great, wholesome music that empowers people, that makes them want to have a family and live a good life. No, I'm not going to sign that. Oh, you're going to talk about gang banging and selling drugs and impregnating women unmarried and going to jail. We'll sign you. Yeah. And I already told my story. That was like a big part of why I became a heroin addict, because I loved rap music. That's why that Bryson, when I wrote these notes, I forgot his name too. Bryson Gray. I bought his CD. He's been canceled off Spotify and stuff. And I don't even listen to music really anymore, but I'll support anybody that's trying to do the right thing. There's so few truth and honesty in our world left. People just do whatever whoever's paying, signing their checks. So that's it, guys. That is the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. So my theory, guys, Freemasons were behind all the republics, the overthrows of the monarchy. I showed you that with plenty of quotes, plenty more that we can dive into if you're interested. And I think that was because they knew if they overthrew the church, if they overthrew the powerful monarchies, the people were up for grabs. No one was defending them. Us. No one was defending us. And it's hard to believe because we value our founding fathers so much. We're like, wow, they're such brilliant men. But again, I leave you with two questions. One, if these men really wanted what was best for us, why didn't it work? It failed. It failed. They wrote it so vaguely and able to add things that it failed. And if it was truly the best system, why are we in the state that we are now? And how do you fix it? So on a positive note, pray every night, get married, be a good person, love your neighbor, love your significant other, love your parents, your family, develop a community, friendships, and that is the way is how you win. Don't play this game and watching Hollywood propaganda. Don't give your soul to the free stuff they let you have, because like I said, your soul is what you're paying with. So if you want to support the show, guys, I got a website, conspiracyorjusticoincidence.com. If you can leave a review, I'm always honored. I hope you enjoyed the show. I got some t-shirts that Liv makes. I'll ask her to make some more this weekend. She's got a great eye for design. And I think that's it, guys. So have a happy 4th. If you have pets, I'm sorry about I hate the fireworks too. My cats hate it. So I hope your pets will be okay. And that's it, guys. All right. Bring back the church. Conspiracy or JC. Follow me on Twitter at Conspiracy or JC. YouTube at Conspiracy or JC. Jack Allen. And I'm out. Peace.